This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Here we go. 6 seconds left from the after the 5-yard penalty, the 38-yard line of Oregon. Howard steps back to throw. Looks right. Pump fake. Now will run and has room and hooks down at the 28-yard line. But the clock has run out. The clock has run out. Will they review it? Will they review his hook slide?
I think the official in the middle of the field is trying to wave people back to the sideline just a minute ago so they can re-look at it.
Well, Dusty Hara, interesting call from you.
Guys, with 6 seconds to go, he slid with one to go. He did not pick up a first down, so the clock would not stop. But they had to keep running.
But they had a timeout. Did they try to call a timeout?
I don't think you can get a timeout off that quick. Referees have left the field.
Well, that's an
indication. This game is over.
All right, game is over. It's a final. Oregon is defeated. Number 2, Ohio State, 32-31. It's officially over.
That was the call right here on The Fan in the Oregon Sports Network. That was a wild finish. And I'll tell you, when I said the referees have left the field, literally the white hat was running right past me. And I was like, well, that means this game's over. We all didn't know whether the game was over or not because immediately the duck sideline emptied onto the midfield. The students and the crowd started running out onto the field. And the refs were trying to keep everybody back, and I think it was to get Ohio State off the field. So nothing stupid happened, nothing, you know, those guys could get off the field safely. The officials were gone, though, in the chaos.
Oh, they knew it was coming.
At the end of that game, it was pandemonium down there. It was sheer pandemonium.
The second that last play happened, he slid down, I just went, oh, no. The look of, I mean, this is Buckner, this is Chris Webber, just brain fart.
Yeah.
Just like, he goes down 2 seconds earlier and calls the timeout. Ohio State's got a chance to win.
Yeah, and this is, they do have a chance to win because as we work backwards from that moment, the Ducks come out, they call a timeout. And I know, and we will never hear the honest truth of this, because that this is just the way that works. Ducks call a timeout with 10 seconds to go. After it was a offensive pass interference, which I know Ohio State fans are like, how do you call that? You know, DBs playing catch technique. Make no mistake, that penalty was called on the Oregon sideline. And there was a lot of working of the officials for 59 minutes and 50 seconds to, hey, the push off.
Also, Jeremiah Smith, every time he goes up for a contested catch, is a stiff arm.
Yeah, he fully extends both arms out.
I will say, for an 18-year-old kid to be able to boss every DB on the planet.
He is special, man.
He is that is a different dude. Like, he seals out like a power forward.
Yep.
It is. 18-year-olds are not supposed to have that awareness, that ability, or to be that tricky. It's not supposed to be all of those things at that age.
Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Egbuka, who also had a phenomenal game for Ohio State, those two guys are special.
Yep.
They are difference makers, and they were difference makers on Saturday.
But also, Jeremiah Smith is a walking OPI.
That pass interference penalty backs him up. Oregon calls timeout. They reassess. Now, the conspiracy theory that is out there is that Dan Lanning, who, you know, a lot of fans were calling a dumbass because he doesn't know how to control his timeouts and will go for it on fourth down, you know, see the Washington games last week, doesn't know how to manage a game, yada, yada, yada. Now, a lot of those same fans calling him a genius because he puts a 12th man on the field.
Yeah, I don't think so, Bob.
And we will not know the truth about that and how that worked out. But that 5-yard penalty runs 4 seconds off the clock. And you think of how ballsy of a call that is.
Yeah.
Because they were on the very fringe of
his range.
They needed about 10 yards to get into the range. You give them the 5, and they have 6 seconds and a timeout, they can run a slant, get it to the middle of the field, get down, call a timeout, and they have 2 seconds left. Average play, if you run a quick hitter like that, that's about 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. They would have left them with 2 seconds left to have a game-winning field goal. Ballsy call, mm-hmm. right? If you intentionally are bringing that guy in, the 12th man off the field. I will say the reactions that I saw were not indicating either that it was an amazing sell job. It was not indicative of we did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you want to call Lanning and his staff a genius and say it was premeditated like Warren Sharp did, mm-hmm. Tom Coughlin did do this as a head coach of the New York Giants yeah. years ago. So it's not like something that's never happened before.
Yeah.
We'll never know if it was on purpose or not. But, I mean, you give them that 5 yards, they only need five more in 6 seconds to do it and a timeout. If Will Howard slides 2 yards earlier, they have a chance to call the timeout and kick that field
goal
in range.
And all of a sudden, Dan Lanning's a dumbass.
Yeah.
So I don't really think that.
But as it was.
That's happening.
That penalty, it was an incompletion. Mm-hmm. They did not throw to the side where the 12th man came onto the field. Mm-hmm. They went to. Well, one-on-one with Jabbar Muhammad. Jabbar Muhammad makes a play on the ball. It was an incompletion. That sets up that play right there. And one thing that you can say about this defense, and I thought this was the story of the game for Oregon's defense. They did. It wasn't like it was a clamps-down, suffocating defensive performance where they made plays all night long that Ohio State was flummoxed by. But you go back and you say, Oregon's defense, when it mattered, they made those plays. In that final play where Will Howard scrambles, he was trying to get the ball out quick, mm-hmm. and the defensive backs did their job.
A quasi-coverage sack in which he's taking off and running there is fine. He's just got to look up and see the scoreboard and go down.
And I hate that for Will Howard.
It sucks because he's going to get buried for it.
And he played a hell of a game.
Yeah.
He played, both of those quarterbacks played an outstanding game. But if you go back and you say where Oregon's defense made the plays when they mattered the most, right? After the Ohio State's opening drive where they marched down the field, I still don't understand how you don't review that catch slash interception that Jeffrey Bosa had.
I'm going to be in the minority here. Not that they shouldn't have reviewed it. The more I watch it, the more I think it's a simultaneous catch that Bosa walks away with in the end.
The ball bounced off of the tight ends, and at that point, Bosa was on top of him.
And you can't – look, if they have ruled it an interception, then I go right away with the interception. But I think it's a simultaneous – regardless of what I think, they should have reviewed it.
Yeah.
They absolutely unequivocally should.
And they had enough time.
Yes,
because I had heard this – because I obviously wasn't watching, but Ohio State ran up to the line like they were going to run a play. They did not run a play quickly at the line of scrimmage. From what I'd heard, NBC was able to run a replay before Ohio State ran the next play. Is that right?
Yeah, they ran a replay. Yeah. And
so they had enough time to run a replay there, so the replay booth obviously had time to review the play itself, and no buzz down. Whatever. Three plays later, Ohio State scores. Okay, and that's a trend that, look, teams have moved the ball on Oregon their opening drives. Every single game this year, with the exception of Idaho in week one, a team has either gotten points on their opening drive, or you had a, 38-yard missed field goal by Oregon State on their opening drive. You had Michigan State fumbling on the mm-hmm. 2-yard line on their opening drive. Teams have moved the ball against Oregon on their opening drive. That is nothing new. There's like a feeling out process that we've seen over, five of the first six games of the season. That wasn't a surprise. But where Oregon's defense was making plays throughout the course of the game, the second drive, Ohio State looks like they're marching again. They're running the ball really effectively. Mm-hmm. And Derek Harmon in his big old mitts
ripped that thing out.
Ripped the ball out of Quinshon Judkins' belly.
I think that was the biggest play in the game.
And it was the one turnover.
Genuinely, I think that was the biggest play in the game because it felt like early, Oregon wasn't, they weren't scared, but Ohio State was dictating early.
They were running the ball very effectively.
And it was like, when they forced that turnover, all of us, because Ohio State goes down and scores, because it looked like they were going to do exactly what they did on the first drive, which was go down and score. And mm-hmm. it was like, oh boy, that play not only was a momentum stopper, but I think it gave Oregon the belief kind of situation where it was, not that they don't belong. I think there's they know kind of who they are. But I think there was a, this is a different team than what has been the past 2 years, right? Like, it's not everybody's been together and it's this cohesive unit and you know what you got in everyone kind of a situation. This was like, okay, we're here. We belong. Mm-hmm. And yeah. when you get that, all of a sudden, it doesn't snowball, but it was just a moment where things shifted just enough to where you went, okay, there you go. Now you can get things going. Now, obviously, they go down and score and yeah. miss the extra point. And
that first quarter, Ohio State ran for 99 yards.
Yeah, they just put the foot down and just thumped.
That play, it was one of the many pivot points, right? Right before the half was another big one where
the
Mateo Uiagalelei is getting down blocked. He's got the guard is on his hip.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know how he did it, but he reversed and ended up making a tackle on third and one.
Yep.
And it was a tackle for loss where he just dives the opposite way and gets the back down. That was another huge yep. moment where it was like Ohio State had the opportunity.
I don't know why they didn't sneak that one after Will Howard had been so good. Like, he just got behind his center. They ran the sneak, what, two times in the first half?
Yeah.
One for the touchdown and one for the on fourth down. And both times, he absolutely, I mean, he got 4 yards.
Oregon nutted up.
They did.
In that second half.
Especially without Jordan Birch. Those ends, man, they were absolutely phenomenal.
There was an adjustment up front where, again, 99 yards rushing in the first mm-hmm. quarter for Ohio State, 19 yards rushing on 12 carries in the second half. Oregon's defense, they played lights out against mm-hmm. the run in the second half. You had multiple plays. I thought holding Ohio State to a field goal on their second-to-last drive, where the crowd forces a false start, defense holds, all of a sudden, then Oregon is playing for a field goal instead of having to go for it on fourth down and one from the goal line to get six. All they needed was three to take the 1 point eventual game winning the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
There, that was the defense coming up not all game long, because Ohio State is too good. They are too, and you saw how talented that team is.
Yep.
They are too good to just say, yeah, you know, we're going to just put clamps down, suffocate him. Good night, Charlie. But the defense made plays when it mattered. And the offense was wildly efficient.
There was almost no negative plays in this game. There were 5 total negative plays. 3 TFLs for Oregon, 2 for Ohio State. And there was 1 sack.
Yeah.
Like, there was almost no negative plays in this game. It was insane.
1 sack was when they needed it the most.
Yep.
I felt like, with Jordan Birch being out, Ohio State was going to put Tuioti and Uiagalelei in a position where they are the read guys.
Yep.
And they're going to do that because they want to take advantage of the youth that those two have. And they did it multiple times. But multiple times, Tuioti and Uiagalelei did their job and trusted that their teammates would do their job. And I think that's why you saw that run game kind of get shut down, because there's multiple times where they are putting those two in read situations.
Yep.
And they did what they were supposed to do, which was take the running back and then trust that someone else would take the quarterback. And they did that. The other thing, too, remember, Ohio State has those back-to-back big runs. You take those big runs out of it, Oregon won against their rushing attack all game. It's very similar to the Ashton Genty game with Boise State. You look at his yardage total and you're like, wow, Genty ate all game. And it's like, well, not really. He had 4 or 5 big runs, and then everything else, he's averaging about 3 yards a carry. It's kind of the same thing against Ohio State. So I felt like their run defense was superb because it put the ball in Will Howard's hands and it forced him to throw. And he's not going to beat you, Oregon, when he has to sit back in the pocket and throw.
This game was a huge one for Oregon, and the defense, I don't think Dan Lanning would have wanted it any other way. Having his defense on the field at the end of the game, because this is kind of the identity that he had built.
Yeah.
Was it nip and tuck? Absolutely.
We'll see.
Did Ohio State leave a lot of plays out there and have the shoulda, coulda, wouldas?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think Oregon can look and say the exact same thing. You bobble a snap on an extra point.
Mm-hmm.
You miss a field goal. You get stuffed
on the
2-yard yeah. line. You miss a 2-point conversion, right? You have you don't take points when you get stuffed yep. on the goal line. There was a lot, and then you know Tez Johnson open in the end zone. I also think that he came open really quickly, but Dylan Gabriel was reading inside out.
Yeah.
And by the time he got outside,
it's too late.
They did a great job of caging Dylan Gabriel where he had to force that ball to Patrick Herbert, yeah. right? There was a lot of those plays where you're like, so many plays left on the field for Oregon, too. That's a heavyweight fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you look for.
The thing that we had to talk about this at some point, too, is the coaching battles that we saw and Chip Kelly and Tosh LePoy going head-to-head.
Yeah.
I would think most people would look at that in a matchup and go, Chip definitely has the advantage, and yet I think Tosh had probably called his best game.
Yeah. Outstanding. I think Will Stein also called his best game because the offense unloaded the clip. Let's get to that after Will with SportsCenter.